Hello, everyone, and welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast, episode 20. I'm your host, Pete Costanis, and this program is brought to you by Etch-A-Sketch.
Magical silvery screen, my Ohio heart. Etch-A-Sketch, turn the dials and you'll see what I mean. Yeah, your fun time starts with Etch-A-Sketch. A line appears, magically shaking upside down. It's all you'll see, Ohio heart. Etch-A-Sketch, a magical drawing toy. That's Ohio heart. Etch-A-Sketch, almost everyone can enjoy. Yeah, Ohio heart.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we are back. I'm glad you enjoyed that commercial for Etch-A-Sketch. That toy product is still around. I used to have that when I was a kid, and I had trouble drawing it. I don't know. I'm not very good with the knobs, you know, sketching, like, for example, houses or animals or anything like that. I've seen other people use it, and they're much better than what I did. An interesting fact about this toy was that it was introduced in 1960, and it was very, very popular. And around 1970, there were complaints that the toy had a plate. It was made out of glass, and you know they were afraid that if you drop it on the floor, it would crack or shatter. You know, so a child will cut himself. So they replaced it with plastic in 1970. So that's good to know, you know, but when I used it in the 70s, it probably was made out of plastic, that the glass was. You can still find it, not many toy stores, you know, a lot of Toys R Us is gone, so you could probably find it at Walmart or Target or Amazon. So it's very iconic toy. Okay. We'll talk about it. I'm going to talk about a few things today on this episode. We have two deaths that happened this week, very prominent Chicago people. The first one I will talk about is Bob Koester. I think that's how you say his name. And he passed away on May 12th. And he was a record producer and businessman, and he founded the record label Delmark. But he was well known for the record store called Jazz Record Mart, and it was billed the world's largest jazz and blues specialty store. And it was located in Irving Park, in the Irving Park neighborhood of Chicago on the north northwest side. So he was not born in Chicago. He's from Wichita, Kansas, and then he came here to Chicago later on in his life, and he opened a few small record stores. He was partnered with a few people, and he came to Chicago in 1958, and there was a record store called Seymour's Jazz Mart. It was right across in the Roosevelt University building, and then he relocated the store and changed it to the Jazz Record Mart, and that was at 7 West Grand Avenue. Then he purchased a property on Lincoln Avenue near, around Irving Park. And then it moved to 27 East Illinois in 2006. And it was a, and so he, it stayed there it's until, I don't know how long it stayed there, but he complained that the rent was too high over the time, but there were a lot of people that visited the store because you could find any jazz record, any rare recordings there. So he sold the store and then he reopened it in the Horner Park neighborhood in April 2016. And then he opened a smaller store. He kept moving around and then it was called Bob's Blues and Jazz Mart. And then he sold the record, Delmark, a couple of years later. And so he was interviewed on television. I remember seeing him on Channel 11, WTTW. And they also interviewed him when the store closed and everything was sold off. I'm sure it was sold off on eBay or it was bought out by a couple people who were big jazz fans. So he died on May 12th. He was 88. And then his son took over the management of the store of the one in Irving Park Road. I don't know if it's still there or not. I have no idea. He seemed like a very nice man, very educated. So if you ask him a question about jazz, he would just answer, you know, immediately on the top of his head. So that's a shame he passed away. Okay. The next thing I will talk about is I posted a photo this week on my page, Fan of Chicagoland, my Facebook page, that is, and it was about Litton's. It was a department store, and it had a lot of clothes. It sold men's and ladies' clothes, and it was high quality, very beautiful. And it was founded by a man named Henry C. Litton, and it was called the Henry C. Litton and Company, and it was nicknamed the Hub. And the first store opened on State Street in 1887. Oh, that was a long time ago. And it opened a few more stores, like in the 1930s. It opened in Evanston, Oak Park, and in Gary, Indiana. And then I remember there was one in Calumet City. And the post that I posted this week was the one located in Skokie in the old Orchard shopping mall. And that opened in the late 50s. And it was very close from Evanston, you know, to, you know, if you're in Evanston, you shop at Evanston. If you're in Skokie, you shop in Skokie. So I shopped there probably when I was downtown, working in downtown in the 80s. I stopped by over there, like in the early 80s, that is, and it closed around 1986. But it was still a very popular store. People still miss it. And I love the when I find stuff on eBay or on Google search, you would find gift boxes, and they were gorgeous, you know, beautiful Litton's gift boxes, especially at Christmas time. So I have a few that I posted on my page on Van Chicagoland. So yeah, so I mentioned before it went out of business in 1986, and it Weibolts bought the Litton's name and the remaining inventory. But as most people know, Weibolts closed a year later in 1987. They filed for bankruptcy. And now the Litton's building is now owned and it's used by DePaul University as part of the Loop Retail Historic District, which is nice, you know. But sometimes I wish that store was back. You know, it reminded me of Charles A. Stevens. That was another store. And so clothing, and that was beautiful as well. Okay, another death I will talk about is about Dick Kay. And when that was announced, I was shocked because he was one of the best reporters one of the best political reporters in the Chicagoland area. And he only worked at one station, which was WMAQ TV on Channel 5. And he started there in 1968, and he was covering the Democratic National Convention, but he was a writer, and it was very historical, and the riots took place on Michigan Avenue by Grant Park, and across the street was the Conrad Hilton Hotel, where my father worked at the time. I asked him one time when he was alive, and he was unaware what was going on because he worked at room service, so he didn't bother to ask. But when he watched the news later on, they showed clips, and he understood. So it was so chaotic at the time, just unlike last year in 2020, which was horrible. You know, I wish that was forgotten. So Dick Kay, he worked at WMAQ for 38 years. He was there a long, long time. And I remember watching him on the news. And sometimes he anchored the news when he filled in for people. And he was in City Desk. And he would invite guests, and there were some other hosts from Channel 5, and they interviewed political figures, candidates, former mayors, governors. You know, was there for the show went. I don't know how long the show ran. So, and it was probably very popular. So. Actually, his real name is not Dick Kay. His real name is Richard Snodgrass. He took the name Kay from his wife, her first name. And his nickname was Doogie. That was interesting. And I met Dick Kay once when I worked in City Hall at the Board of Elections Commissioners. Yes, I'm sorry. And that was located on the second floor. And I think now it's somewhere else in City Hall. I haven't been there in a long time. So everything, but I worked there in the 1980s, in the mid-1980s, in the summer. I graduated from DeVry in 86 and got a job part-time. I worked at the binders where they held cards. They showed all the information of all the registered voters. They showed when the last time they voted. Sometimes when they were deceased, we just put them in a box and they would be thrown away or they would be entered in a computer system. Right now, everything is computerized, digitized, and I think the binders, they're gone. So... And it was a very interesting place to work at. And I met a couple people and I met some friends. I haven't talked to them in a long time. So, and then I worked for the summer and then they didn't need us anymore and we were laid off. So I was called like a per dime employee. But they did call me back the following year when Harold Washington was mayor. And then I was there when he passed away suddenly, and that was a very tense time. And I remember election time, you worked there for almost like 24 hours. And then it got very hectic before the election time. And there were a lot of political reporters. And one of them was Dick Kay. And I met him. I shook his hand. And he was a very nice man, very tall. You know, and you recognize his voice. You know, he sounded the same on television. And, you know, and I remember when they brought the cameraman and he was interviewing. You know, some people who I used to work with, they mugged behind him, but he didn't phase him at all. He's probably used to that. And it's sad that he passed away. And another reporter I didn't meet, but I saw was Linda Yu, and she was so tiny, very short woman, but she seemed very nice, very elegant, you know. And so it's a shame he passed away. So he retired. I'm trying to remember, when did he retire? Okay. And he still worked, and he was on the radio from WCPT 820 AM, and he works alongside with Joan Esposito, and she's still on the air, a colleague from WMEQ TV. And I didn't hear him on the radio, but he did reach out to me on Instagram. He sent me a message, and I told him, do you remember you met me in the 80s? He goes, not really. But he loves my posts on Instagram for Van Chicagoland, and he's mentioned that I love these historical photos you post, and keep up the good work and keep going. And I said, thank you. That was the nicest compliment I ever got from someone. And it's a shame he didn't remember me, but that's okay. He probably met thousands of people all in his lifetime. So I'm not offended. Not at all. Okay. All right. So another thing I will talk about is a post I also have on my page this week. And it was Ronnie's Real Rich Ice Cream. And I'll give you a little... that ice cream was found in the grocery store Hilo Foods. And I don't remember seeing the ice cream. Probably my mother did when we lived in South Shore neighborhood in the 1960s. There was a Hilo store on East 75th Street near Exchange Avenue. And my mom shopped there quite frequently because, well, on the corner of 75th and Colfax, there was my uncle owned a grocery store on the corner. And she shopped there as well, but most people shopped at Hilo, and there was a National Foods on Exchange Avenue. And during the 60s, they opened in the 50s, they opened a Jewel store west of us on 75th and Crandon Avenue. And I remember going there, and my mom took me in the buggy or in a stroller, and we used to walk over there. She didn't drive, or she took the bus, but I think she took the bus when she had a lot of groceries, and she had those carts, you know, that you pull, a shopping cart. Anyway, from what I told, the ice cream was very good, and it was sold at Hilo's, and someone mentioned there was an ice cream plant on 103rd Street in the Roseland area. Maybe it's true. And the owner of Hilo's, her name was Genevieve Ronnie. And at the time, there weren't many women that ran a company. You know, that was very interesting. And she passed away in 1978, and she was 89 years old, and she lived in the Beverly area. And from what I gathered, a lot of people knew her. She was tough but fair, and she ran a tight ship. And people got nervous when she came to her visits at the stores. So, and then actually the store was founded in 1939, and it had over 50 supermarkets in the Chicagoland area, in the city and the suburbs. And then her nephew ran the the stores, and then she became president. So she was an executive of the stores. She did, you know, but she was, seems like she was the boss. So, and then she quit. I mean, she resigned in 1972, and then Hi-Lo Foods went out of business in 1976. And from what I heard from rumors that her other nephews ran the stores, but they didn't do a very good job of it. So that's a shame. And so they were, it was a family business. They ran, there were nephews, son, I don't know about son-in-laws. I don't know. So there was, you know, a lot of people still miss the store. I remember the Hi-Lo flyers. They were those red wagons. And I remember there was a kid I knew when I was little. He had one, and I was envious. I asked my mom to buy one. She never bought it for me, but I wish she did, because those are collector's items. I saw one on eBay about, oh, a long, long time ago. And a friend of mine from my old neighborhood asked me where I got the photo. And I said, it's on sale on eBay. And he worked at Hi-Lo, and he bought it, and he kept it. Unfortunately, he passed away about a couple of years ago, unexpectedly, which is a shame. Okay, so that'll be it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. You have to excuse me. Sometimes I ramble, you know, and I repeat words. Didn't mean to. I will do another podcast probably maybe tomorrow if I have time. If not, then probably early next week. So I'm glad you join me for listening to me. And this is Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast, episode 20. And this... And this is Pete Costanza, your host. And I hope to see you soon on the next episode. And bye-bye for now. And here is Ray Rainier saying bye-bye for now. And here, and take it away, Ray.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.